Well, in that talk from Jill, we found that the resurrection of Jesus is the crucial thing that Christians believe. If you take the resurrection of Jesus away, if that didn't happen, Christianity comes tumbling down, just like that great block of wooden, that great tower of wooden Jenga blocks there. So thank you for reminding us about that, Jill. Now, if it's so important, if it's as important, if it's as crucial as that, we need to know that it really happened. Because, it's not likely, is it? I mean, when you think about it, people just don't rise from the dead, do they? So, we've got this claim that Jesus rose from the dead. How do we know it's true? Did it actually happen? Is there any evidence for it? When people say something that we find hard to believe, we like to see the evidence, don't we? I mean, for instance, take our youth worker, Bod, for instance. Just come up here for a minute, Bod, will you, please? Bod claims to have been born in the Isle of Man. Can you believe that? Do you know anybody else who's been born in the Isle of Man? Is there anybody here who was born in the Isle of Man? No? Nobody else has been born in the Isle of Man? Now you tell me, Bob, that you were born in the Isle of Man.
I definitely was.
Can you prove it?
Of course.
Give me the evidence then.
Okay. Okay, first bit of evidence.
A birth certificate. 2nd of August 1978. Yes? Where does it actually say the Isle of Man? Oh, yes, Orkin. Is Orkin in the Isle of Man, is it? Oh, right. Oh, Douglas. It's true. There's the evidence. He was born in Douglas in the Isle of Man.
Second base.
Oh, you've got a passport as well.
I have. I could even sing the national anthem.
Oh, it doesn't matter. Not today, Bod. Now, Bod also claims, this is one of his claims, he claims that he once had trials for Bolton Wanderers. Now, can you believe that? Do you believe that? No.
Okay.
This is the Craven District Football Association. I don't think Bolton is in Craven, actually. It describes Jonathan Bodle, forward. Skillful forward with electrifying pace. Bod has had trials with Bolton Wanderers. He's also not shy of hard work and works well along the line and tackling back. Maybe should practice his heading. Well, in full flight, Jonathan is exciting and a pure joy to watch. Who writes this stuff? So he has had trials for Bolton Wanderers. And you also tell me, Bod, which is his nickname, Jonathan's nickname, that you scored a hat-trick for Ingleton.
I did, recently. That is true.
Bodle hits cup hat-trick. And you know, he was playing for Ingleton yesterday and they won 1-0. And guess who scored the only goal of the match? So these statements that don't... You can sit down now, Bob.
Thanks.
That at first hearing, don't seem to be true. When we've got the evidence, we find that they are true. Now, is there any evidence for the Christian claim that God raised Jesus from the dead? We need some evidence for that, don't we? We can't just accept it. We need evidence. Have we got any evidence? Well, we have. I've got the evidence here this morning. It's in this book, the Bible. And in the Bible, for instance, we have some letters from Paul. Now, Paul wrote these letters just 20 years or so after Jesus. And he started off as somebody who hated the gospel. He hated Christianity. He didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God. And he tried to put Christians into prison and to destroy the Christian church. But one day, he was on his way to Damascus, to arrest Christians, and the risen Lord Jesus appeared to him, and his life was completely changed. Instead of being somebody who hated Christianity and tried to destroy the church, he became a Christian missionary. And we have letters from him in the New Testament telling us about what happened to him and telling us of how he saw the risen Lord Jesus Christ. So in our New Testament, in our Bible, we have eyewitness evidence from the Apostle Paul that God raised Jesus from the dead. What about Luke? He wrote the third gospel. Now, he wasn't an eyewitness. But you know what he says at the beginning of his gospel? Listen to this. Thank you for behaving so well this morning, boys and girls. Ooh, you're yawning, Jacob. Never mind. Listen to this. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled amongst us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good also to me to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus. So Luke, at the beginning of his gospel, says that before him, lots of other people had written gospels. And we know that he wrote his before the Apostle Paul died. And he died in 64 to 68 AD. And the life of Paul is recorded in the second volume that Luke wrote, Acts. So that was completed before Paul died. And Luke was written before Acts. So we're talking about something that was written in the 60s AD. And he says many others had written before that. And he had carefully investigated everything. And he had consulted eyewitnesses. So Luke consulted eyewitnesses. So there's the evidence from Luke. What about John? I want to particularly talk about John this morning, because John was one of Jesus' disciples. He called himself very often the beloved disciple. He couldn't get over the fact that Jesus had loved him so much and done so much for him. So he called himself the beloved disciple. And we think that the beloved disciple was John. And he wrote the fourth gospel. And you know, John tells us in the fourth gospel that he was there when Jesus was crucified. He actually saw the Roman soldier put the spear into Jesus' side. And he saw the blood flowing from Jesus' side, from Jesus' heart. He was there at the crucifixion. So we have an eyewitness that Jesus died. And then he tells us that early one morning, two or three days after Jesus had been crucified, some of the ladies found the tomb empty, and they came and told Peter and John. And he and Peter, they ran to the tomb. They wanted to know what was happening. So they ran to the tomb. Now, Peter was probably older than John. We don't know that. But he might have been older than John. And John was a faster runner than Peter. And John got to the tomb first. But he didn't like going in. He found the stone had been rolled away. But he didn't want to go in. I wouldn't want to go into a tomb, would you? No. And John didn't want to go into the tomb. Even though the stone had been rolled away, he didn't want to go in. And then Peter, he came running up, puffing and panting after him, and pushed him aside. And you know what Peter was like, don't you? He just went straight into the tomb. And then John followed Peter in. And they looked and they found that Jesus' body wasn't there. It had disappeared. And I'll tell you this as well. The grave clothes that had been wrapped round Jesus' body were there, but they were empty. The grave clothes were empty. And John says that he saw and he believed. When he saw the empty grave clothes, he saw and he believed. And later that day, John was in a room with the doors locked because they were afraid of being arrested by the Jews who had arrested Jesus. They thought the Jews would be looking for them. And they were there in this room with the doors locked. And on that evening of the first day of the week, the day that Jesus rose from the dead, Jesus came and stood amongst them. And he said, "Peace be with you." And then he showed them his hands and his side. He showed them the wounds in his hands and the wounds in his side. And again he said, peace be with you. And he said, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. And he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. So that, what a wonderful event that was in the upper room on the first day of the week. And John was actually there. He saw the risen Jesus. He saw the wounds in Jesus' hand. You know, one of Jesus' disciples wasn't there. Can anybody tell me the name of the disciple who wasn't there? Yes? Sorry? Judas? Judas wasn't, I wasn't thinking of him, but you're absolutely right. He wasn't there. Judas wasn't there. Another disciple who wasn't there? Thomas. Thomas wasn't there. I don't know why he wasn't there, but he wasn't. Which shows you must never miss church on the first day of the week. You don't know what you might miss if you aren't with the disciples of Jesus on the first day of the week. Thomas wasn't there. And the other disciples told Thomas what had happened. And he said, I don't believe a word of it. I need some evidence. I don't believe it. Resurrections don't happen. Bodies don't rise. Unless I see the wounds in his hands and in his side and in his feet, I won't believe it. And a week later, Thomas was in the upper room with the disciples. And you know, Jesus did it again. He appeared amongst them. And he said to Thomas, Thomas, come here. Here's my hands. Look at my side. Put your hands there if you want to. And don't be an unbeliever. You believe because you've seen. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And Thomas said to Jesus, my Lord and my God. Which is a verse that Jehovah's Witnesses don't like at all. I always get them onto that verse and they do not like it. John chapter 20 verse 28. Thomas said to Jesus, my Lord and my God. So, John was there when that happened. And he tells us about it in the fourth gospel. And then, on another occasion, John and six other disciples, seven disciples altogether, were in a boat sailing on Galilee, and they weren't catching anything, and they saw a stranger on the shore. And the stranger shouted to them, throw your net out onto the other side. And they did. And after they'd done that, they found 153 fishes in the net. And they had to drag the net into the boat. And then they had to bring the boat to the shore. And before that, Peter, you know what he's like, Peter. He jumped out of the boat. It actually says he put his robe back on and jumped into the water. I would have done it the other way around. I'd have taken mine off and jumped into the water. But it says that he put his robe back on and he jumped into the water and waded to Jesus, because that's who it was, on the shore. And then the other disciples arrived and they counted the fish, 153 fish, and Jesus cooked them some breakfast on the shore. Now either that's true or it's false. You can't imagine something like that. And John says he was there. He was the beloved disciple and he was there when it happened. So we have evidence that Jesus rose from the dead. It's true. And if it's true, it's the most important event that ever happened. It means that Jesus is who he said he was. Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. He claimed to have come from heaven. And people didn't believe that claim. They said he's a blasphemer. And they put him to death as a blasphemer. But God raised him from the dead to show that he's not a blasphemer and his claims are true. He is the Son of God. He is God who has come to us. He is the Savior of the world. So the resurrection shows who Jesus is. The resurrection shows that Jesus is unique. He's different from every other religious leader. There's lots of other religious leaders around these days, but none of them have been raised from the dead. Jesus is alive. Muhammad died when he was 60, I think. I think he was either 60 or 62. 62, I think he was. But Confucius died when he was 72. Buddha died when he was 80. Moses died when he was 120. Jesus is alive. That's why you should be a Christian. Jesus is alive. And another thing that the resurrection shows is that God is happy with what Jesus did when he died on the cross. God has accepted what Jesus did when he died for our sins on the cross. Isn't that great news? Talk about that in a minute. And, of course, it means that Jesus is alive. He's coming back again. He can be with us. He can help us. And it means that those of us who trust him are going... Are you going, Jacob? Those of us who trust him are going to conquer death as well. The same thing that happened to Jesus is going to happen to us one day. We're going to have bodies like unto his glorious body. We're going to conquer death as well. Thank you very much for listening to that slightly more difficult talk, boys and girls. Well, I was talking to the grown-ups there. And they need to hear the word of God as well as the children, you see. Okay. Now, I think, do we need the lights off? Would that be better if we had the lights off, do you think? These lights here and here would be better if they were off. So I want to be able to see this screen. And we always hope when we're going to use this screen that it's going to be a dull day. But it isn't. It might make just a little bit of difference. One other question to think about before we go. And that's this. If Jesus is so special, and the resurrection means that he is very, very, very special. If Jesus is so special, and if he conquered death, why did he die? Why did there have to be a Good Friday before there could be an Easter Sunday? Well, let's try and explain why this had to happen. Why did Jesus have to die? Why did Jesus have to die? Well, when we were first made, when God first made us, when God first made human beings, he made us with a perfect friendship with God. That's why he made us, for a friendship with himself. He wanted human beings to be his friend. And when we were first made, we had a wonderful friendship with God. So our friendship with God was unspoiled by sin. And we had this lovely friendship with God. I think we're just about going to be able to see it. A friendship with God which was unspoiled by sin, unpolluted by sin. We had this wonderful relationship with God. And then, the Bible tells us, do you know what human beings did? Do you know what human beings like us did? We said no to God. We turned our backs on God. And we decided we were going to be disobedient. And you know what happens when you're disobedient, don't you? What happens with your mum and dad when you're disobedient? Your mum and dad get angry. Your mum and dad get cross. Your mum and dad are sad when you're disobedient. Not just angry, but they're sad as well. And we feel guilty. We feel rotten. And sometimes we feel rebellious. We say, I'm not going to be good. I'm going to carry on being bad. I'm going to carry on being naughty. And so, that's exactly what happened with us and God. We had this wonderful relationship with God, but we turned our backs on God. We said no to God. We disobeyed God. And when that happened, our relationship with God was spoiled. We felt guilty. We felt afraid of God. And God was angry. And God was sad with us. And so our relationship with God has now been spoiled. Our relationship with God is now like that. It's been spoiled. It would have been better if it hadn't been such a sunny day, actually. And our relationship with God is now like that. And, well, God could have just left it like that, couldn't he? He could have just left us in our sin with a bad relationship with God forever. Separated from God forever. He could have just left it like that. But the Bible says that God is a God of amazing love and grace, which is love for people who don't deserve it. And he sent his Son into this world, the Lord Jesus, And the Lord Jesus, when he died on the cross, he took the punishment for us. He took the punishment for our sin. He took the punishment that we deserved. So a cloud came over his relationship with God when he was on the cross. He cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's as if Jesus had lost that relationship with God for a while. And so he was suffering for us. He was being punished for us. And because he died... Oh, by the way, I should have said that our hearts... Our hearts, God is now putting a heart-shaped piece of cloth into this substance. Our hearts are now... Hold it up, Bob. Our hearts are now like that. They're not clean hearts. They're hearts that have been polluted by sin. And I like your apron, Bob. And... because the Lord Jesus died, because he suffered on the cross, because he was wounded for our sins and our transgressions, because he died for us, when we believe in him, when we really, really believe in him, when we trust ourselves to him and we say, Lord, yes, I am a sinner, I have done wrong, I have been disobedient, I am guilty, but I turn from that and I want my sins forgiven and I want to know you and I want to follow you and I want to know your Father as my Father. When we really and honestly from our hearts say that, our sins are forgiven and our relationship with God is restored. God is now about to put another substance into this bowl of dirty liquid. Stand up, God, so that people can see what you're doing. He is about to pour another substance into this liquid. And amazingly, before our very eyes, the substance becomes clear again. He will now put it back on the overhead projector. And as we see, our relationship with God is now restored to being what it was before. Isn't that good news? And our hearts, which were tainted, dirty because of sin and guilt, when we come to the Lord Jesus and trust in what he has done, we find that our hearts become clean again. And Bod will hold up a piece of... the same piece of cloth, ladies and gentlemen. But now, as you can see, with your own eyes, absolutely clean. Thank you, Bod. Sit down. And that is an illustration of what happens to us when we trust in the Lord Jesus. The hearts which are separated from God are put back together with God again. It takes time, of course, for our hearts to be completely purified from sin. But as we live the Christian life, that's what happens. By his Holy Spirit, God purifies us from sin. And because Jesus died, the moment we believe in Jesus, he sees our hearts as if we'd never sinned. They're absolutely clean. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. And when we're in heaven, we will have a perfect relationship with God and completely sinless hearts. So that's why Jesus had to die before he was raised from the dead. So the message is to really trust the Lord Jesus and follow him on this Easter Sunday morning. Thank you for your help there, Bod. Let's close with our closing hymn.